There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve. Appreciate having you here. Phone line and the text line waiting for you, 343-0106. Also, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave me a talk back message. We'll talk in detail how to do that in later on in the show. All right, so good. And a reminder, too, just a day early, but since I rocketed up over this last weekend in our college pick'em, with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of y'all in the mix. I probably shouldn't say that because I'm up at like 53 in college pick'em, but make sure you get your picks in before Saturday and keep checking those stats on your website there. We'll give you more talk on that coming up in just a little bit. All right, as we get started today, leadoff batter running for U.S. Senate made the announcement late last month, and I saw a TV ad for this man, and you get my attention when you're posed up in front of the Mighty A. You know, my affinity for the USS Alabama and Battleship Memorial Park, and it got my attention. I watched it, and good to get this man on this radio show as well. Running for U.S. Senate, U.S. Navy Reserve Captain, worked in the Trump administration, also worked for Coach Tuberville. It's Morgan Murphy joining us now. Thanks for your time. Thanks for hopping on.
Sean, great to be with you.
Yeah, and nice play there. I mean, you put the Alabama in the background. I mean, pretty good one. I'm like, oh, that's cool because we love the battleship.
It's iconic for the state. I mean, everybody, it's the most visited attraction in the state. And I said, you know, if you're going to launch a video, don't film it in a barn. film it in something that people will recognize as Sweet Home Alabama.
You know what's great about that, although it took me going off to college and all that stuff to realize everybody didn't grow up in a place that had a battleship in our backyard. You kind of grow up, you're
heck like... No, man, it's such a symbol of American strength and might. Man, I love that ship, and part of my platform is bringing back the battleship. We need modern day battleships, not to dust off the old ones, but we need new, bigger ships that can put a lot of lead on target.
Yeah, I want to, and because there's so many other questions, but let's delve into that for a second with your service to our country, U.S. Navy Reserve Captain. I've been talking this week about the assets, naval assets moved into off the coast of Venezuela, and obviously there's a discussion about the stopping the drugs. But me, just being a civilian, but a guy that looks at this, I wonder if there's not a secondary or follow-on effect of, you know, right when President Trump is negotiating with Xi Jinping. You know, just a little, like a show of muscle, a little bit of flex of, you know, y'all may have more ships than us, but we got the best ships, and here we are, you know, we're flexing right here off Venezuela.
That's right. I mean, Venezuela is about to enter the find out part of the storyline with an entire carrier battle fleet group moving offshore. It tends to get people's attention. And yeah, you're right, Sean. This is something that grieves me. I mean, when I joined the Navy in 1999, we had the largest fleet in the world. No one could match American firepower at sea. Today, we are number two. Americans don't know that. Our congressional folks aren't talking about it enough. It's something I'm going to Washington to do, to say we have got to double the size of the fleet, and we need to do it now, because American sea power is what keeps the shipping lanes open, is what keeps our economy going. We have to have it. But we're better than the Chinese still.
Yeah, you talk about we got to get it now, because I think about the ramping up of that. With the old analogy, it takes a long time, you know, to turn around a battleship. Well, it takes a long time to build, you know, naval assets. If we say today, as we're sitting here, or we need to do this. It doesn't exactly, we don't have them go get a champagne bottle broken across the bow in a week's time. It takes a while.
No, it's terrible. It takes us 10-plus years to build a carrier. It takes us 8-plus years to build a submarine. This is just something I'm going to be saying a lot, and that is we have got to get back to manufacturing. We've got to get our manufacturing mojo back in this country. Alabama is actually leading the way in that. We are one of 6 states where manufacturing is the number one employer. You know, the other 40-some-odd as healthcare is the number one employer. But I'm preaching that up one side and down the other because it's, one, good-paying jobs, but two, it's critical for our national security that we be able to make things. And that's just essential. Politicians lied to us for 50 years, said we could be a service economy, that, you know, we could be an intellectual economy and you can just, you know, I guess be a YouTuber or something, and that's great. But you can't, in time of war, you cannot convert a YouTuber to a welder very quickly.
For sure. Talk about you, too, to folks that have not met you or heard from you before in our neck of the woods. Alabama guy, kind of give us your story, and your story to serve our country as well.
I am a 26-year veteran of the U.S. Navy and Reserve. I'm a proud Navy guy, captain in the Navy. I've been activated 3 times, deployed, including a combat tour of Afghanistan. I'm very proud of that service, but I've also been a national security advisor, and I was a national security advisor in the U.S. Senate for Tommy Tuberville, proud to stand with Coach on a lot of his major initiatives where he, you know, we fought the withdrawal from Afghanistan tooth and nail. We begged General Milley to keep Bagram Air Force Base. We fought taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. Coach held up every admiral and general in the United States military over that issue, and the Democrats all cried, oh my gosh, it's a readiness issue. You're destroying the readiness of the United States military by holding up the promotions of 800 individuals. Well, today, look at them, Sean. They're holding up the pay and promotions for 3 million government servants, and they were worried about 800. So you just see how shallow that is.
So, in that position, back during that, the holdup, we did point out on the station they could have passed, they could have done a singular pass, right, for those positions. So,
but they loved boohooing about that. You know, it was hilarious to see Elizabeth Warren go down on the Senate floor and say, oh gosh, these poor, you know, 2 stars can't afford grocery money. She actually said that. I was sitting there watching and look like, grocery money? What are you talking about?
What do you think the enlisted men thought of that? The 2 star couldn't afford groceries.
I know, and they're you know, the poorest person on that list, the very poorest person on the list was making $250,000 a year. So it was just a complete joke the whole time. But, you know, Tommy Tuberville showed that you could take a principled stand. So many politicians get up to Washington and they, you know, they name post offices and they give Boy Scouts, you know, merit badges, and their constituents. The weird thing about Congress, most of us like our congressman, but we hate Congress because our congressman, he got my mother-in-law out of Barbados when her passport didn't work. And so they do that kind of, but they're not talking about like these major issues. Tommy Tuberville said, you know, I can stand up to this crowd and I will stand up to this crowd. And Washington freaked out because he didn't play by the, you know, the riverboat gambler did not play by the rules that Washington is used to playing by. They want somebody who will just go along and get along up there. And that's why I'm running, because we cannot afford to have another politician just go up to Washington to go along to get along.
I watched Coach navigate that, because that's a question I like to ask of anybody running for office here, is we talk about policies and ideas, but then I'm going to ask you, because we're hiring you for a job, how are you going to be better than somebody else at getting it done, right? Because I could say, well, you go up there and you say, well, to heck with all you, you don't play the game, and then nothing gets done for Alabama. I think coaches showed that there's another lane, but how would you? I mean, how would you navigate that? If you're elected,
You have to be effective. And to be effective in Washington, there are really only a few routes. One is to be up there 18 years, figure out the job, get seniority, you know, and that's the typical path.
Number two is to be famous, and Coach was famous. He had a lot of self-power and soft power because he could, you know, people wanted to talk to him. Constituents, other members, they wanted to hear about that game back in 1987 that he coached, right? Mm-hmm. It was some cachet there. The third way is to know what the heck you're doing when you get there, and that's the Katie Britt way, I call it. Like, she was mm-hmm. a former staffer. I'm a former staffer. You got to know what cloture is, what a hotline is, committees, how the Senate process works. The United States Senate is not an entry-level job. It is a strategic job. You need to have a strategic overview. And it's not enough to know, it's not enough just to have military service. It's not enough just to have some, you know, private sector experience. You've got to know how Washington works or it will eat you up. And I've had the displeasure of serving, I mean the honor of serving, but like Washington's not easy. And I've worked up there for Donald J. Trump. I worked in his first administration. I just left his second administration. I worked for Coach Tuberville. I've worked at the State Department, at the Pentagon, at the White House. I know how these pieces go together. And if you don't know how the Washington works, it will devour you. It's why President Trump was so much more effective term two. He's been so much more effective term two than he was term one. He was good term one, but term two, man, he's just blowing everything out of the water because he knows where all of the swamp creatures are hiding.
Yeah, he has been. He's moving. And, of course, he has a timeline here, too, before, you know, the waning part of his presidency, he won't have as much cachet or traction, right? So he's got to get the, and he has gotten these things done. Do you think that's also other people, other Republicans kind of coming to heel, or do you think it's just knowing how to play the game?
Yeah, I mean, right now, everybody in Alabama and everybody I'm running against is saying, oh, we love Trump and we love the Republican Party. But I ask, where were they in 2021? Because when I was up there with Coach, it was pretty dang lonely. We walked past 25,000 National Guard soldiers to get into his Senate offices in January 2021. And the Republican Party was probably its lowest ebb since 1930. And even more, we were hated by the Democrats, of course, but who really hated us were the regular establishment Republicans. They regarded us as those dirty MAGA people, and they hated Trump, and they didn't like Coach, and they wanted to get rid of us, and they are still there. They are still there. They're hiding. They're saying the right things right now, but they're hiding because they want to get rid of Trump. They want him to fly off in January 2029 on, you know, Marine One. And they never want to talk about America First. They don't want to talk about MAGA. They don't want to talk about Trump. They want that to be behind them. And that's why I'm running, because we cannot as a country afford to go back the way things have always been done.
Yeah, I do. I wonder that. Post-Trump, all right, and we could play the game and say, well, who might be the next president? But let's just make it neutral. We don't know. The legacy of Trump, are there enough people in the Senate, in the House, that it will stand up to not being watered right back down, right? Without the executive branch being led by Trump. Does it stick around? Does it last, or does it wash away?
There aren't enough people right now, Sean. You hit the nail on the head. Don Jr. said last week, he said, we only have like four senators in the U.S. Senate who are reliably MAGA. And Tommy Tuberville's one of them. I'm thrilled he's running for governor. He's going to make a great governor. But I asked him, I actually said, Coach, we need you in the Senate. We need you to stay. Because we cannot put a squish into the U.S. Senate. And weirdly, Sean, weirdly, southern states, the most ruby-red, reliable Republican states, tend to send squishes to the Senate. I don't know why that is, but we do. I mean, there are southern Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump. And you can just look this week. There are eight Republican senators who voted against Donald Trump's tariffs on Brazil. In my mind, that's a disgrace.
Now, they've got to, if they do that in a calculated vote, they got to think they can weather the storm. It seems to me that they think, okay, well, I'll do this and I don't have that long to ride this out before I can go back to business as usual, I guess, because if it continues with somebody getting elected, you know, post-Trump that has that same America First agenda, it's going to be tough on them.
we've got to be so careful about who we send to Washington. Now, people don't know Morgan Murphy, right? Everybody's going to be looking at my record. They're going to be looking at my competitors' records. And they need to really study. I'm proud of my bio, but don't elect me because of my bio, right? Don't elect me just because I'm a Navy captain or just because I work for Trump and Tuberville. I'm proud of that. But look at my record. You need to have a record to run on. And although I haven't been an elected official, I have a very strong record because I've written for 30 years in the media. You can go back and read my articles in Forbes magazine, in Daily Caller, in the Washington Times, on Newsmax, and see what I thought. And I also have a clear record of working for Trump and for Tuberville. So you can see that I will be a reliable MAGA voice. The problem with the Senate is we send people as the longest elected serving official, so it's 6 years. But you and I both know that once a senator gets into office, I mean, you can't dynamite them out of that thing, right? We've got fossils walking around the Senate that have been there since Hitler was a private. And the problem is once they get in there, they can, you know, if you don't know who they are, it's almost impossible to get rid of them. So I am begging the people of Alabama, look at our records, because it's so vital. I mean, all of the guys that are running are in their 50s, roughly. I'm 53. So could potentially serve, you know, 6, 12, 18 plus years. And so we really need to know who we're sending.
Captain, as we wrap this up, tell folks who do want to continue to get to know you, how they find you online or find out events where you're going to be. Where'd they go?
Best place is murphyforsenate.com, and that's Murphy, F-O-R, for Senate spelled out, .com. And on there, you can read about me, read the bio, but you can also read what I think, because I write all my own stuff. So you can read all the policies I've laid out here today.
All right, Captain Murphy, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on today.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes. So coming right back, more of Midday Mobile.
Wanting more from a realtor? Then call Chasen Wachter. 30 years as a licensed realtor and 20 years as a licensed home builder in the area. Those experiences give Chasen the ability to provide his clients with more. Call 251-379-4444 or visit ChasenHomes.com.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Devin Walsh. A hearing is...
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. Just had one of those moments here, you know, like when you wake up, you go, wow, I got old. Like, so running for Senate, Morgan Murphy, 53, my age. There's, I think, one of the candidates younger than that. I remember like being like, they're old people, and they really are. There's some, I mean, Methuselah, you know, would be young in the Senate sometimes, but I don't know, you get that wake up, you're like, oh gosh, and not only, you know, I'm way past the age of the, you know, where somebody gets into to the House, but now I'm senatorial age. Get your attention. Grab a couple texts here. And coming up, by the way, in, just after the news, Representative Chip Brown's going to join us. Lots to talk about with him, but we will talk some seafood labeling in the mix as well. All right, Jolene said, what's a squish? A squishy. People, they would say they go along to get along, right? And I would say that there are squishes in Congress. There also, sometimes people go, that person's a squish, and then I'll say, well, go look how they voted. So there's two things happen in Washington. There are people that, like, you could have two sets of representatives, senators, you watch them, and their votes are 100% the same. But one gets on, you know, Fox News and goes, ah, those stupid Democrats, this, that, and the other. And one doesn't, but they vote exactly the same. I just want the one that's most effective here. Let's see. Texter didn't get the office. Captain Murphy's running for Senate. He's running for U.S. Senate. He announced late last month, though, he's in the mix for Senate here. And, I mean, y'all get ready. I mean, this is, we knew it was going to have some competition in it, but this is, it's a term, it could be a slobber knocker as we head towards the spring. Let's see the, where in Daphne is the barbecue? I have to update that. Is that from Devin's News from WKRG? I'll update that. I did see this, speaking of fundraisers, barbecue fundraisers, maybe this is the one you're talking about. This is for Three Circles, Three Circle Church, holding a fundraiser. Three Circle Church, it's there on Sage in Midtown. I drive by it all the time now, and they took some real damage. I obviously haven't gone in, but I can see it on the outside, that fire that broke out there. So if you go to Three Circle Church in Midtown there on Sage, or the one in Daphne, you pick up barbecue. I think this is what you're talking about. You pick up barbecue, and that is going to be on Saturday. So you go there. I don't know the hours. It didn't say here, but you'll be able to I tell you what, somebody will give us the hours of this. I know there are people that go to that church that listen to us and give us the hours of it. But Saturday, $40, it says a plate of barbecue costs $40, including a full rack of ribs and a pint of beans. And that goes to benefit the rebuild there. It looks like the sanctuary was really what was hit more than the rest of it in the Midtown location of Three Circle. So maybe that answers your question on that. All right, coming back, Chip Brown joins us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad you're here. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Talk about the great selection of e-bikes he has in stock, but specifically this time of year, getting in the woods with those. I mean, that was the first reason I got an e-bike. He's got a shipment in of Fat Tire e-bikes. Time for hunting season. He's got the Mock Wheel Obsidian 2.0 with a 750-watt motor. It's the Fat Tire hunting e-bike, has a full suspension, and it comes in camo. Also, Denago, they have theirs out as well. Comes in OD green and black for hunting season. And in addition, if you getting your first e-bike or you already have one, Clint gets it. He's got the racks you can hold your bow in, your gun in. There's one for a pistol. There's panniers that go over the back tires. You carry the gear in the woods for hunting. It all can go on the bike, move through the woods silently. These things are awesome. So you got to check them out today. And a big selection, 75 plus in stock at any time of e-bikes at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And what's cool too is you kind of talk about it like, hey, here's what I do with the bike. Here's what I want to do with the bike. And they'll say, well, check out these four or five, and then you could test ride those and see which one's your favorite. Go check him out. He's at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, so like kind of catty cornered across from Ruth's Chris. You see him online, adventure-earth.com. He's got an e-bike buying guide on his website as well. Make sure, though, to go see him in person. It's the most fun. Adventure Earth Bicycles. All right, without further delay, he's last on the charts, but first in our hearts from 105, Representative Chip Brown joins us. Thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks, Sean. It's great to be with you today.
Good to have you on as well. How are things holding up in the south end of the county?
Hey, doing great. Doing great. Just moving along, getting ready for winter.
Well, I tell you what Representative and I were talking about during the news break there was that announcement that DCNR Director or Commissioner Blankenship made like a couple weeks ago on the show. I think he made it a little early, which I love, and that he doubled down on it at an event the other day. The casino boat. One of the casino boats there from Bala Battery, the ones that people remember, it's been some years, but we had some storms where they broke loose and beat everything up. We're going to sink one of those and make a snapper wreck out of it.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'll tell you, Mayor Barnes, Henry Barnes, got the ball rolling on that and contacted me, and I contacted the commissioner, and then we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and then the Mr. Blankenship just took the ball and ran with it, and I'm glad to see that getting done. That boat's been sitting there for several years.
And it'll be a lot nicer on the bottom when it's loaded with fish.
Oh, yeah, that an excellent reef. You know, we Florida has the United States, but we're going to have this, and we lead the nation in the number of artificial reefs, and this will be a great one.
Okay, what I'm looking at, so we can beat Florida with the United States, and that everybody looking for the biggest wreck or whatever. See if we can find if there's a carrier. They're mothballing a carrier out there. Let's sink a carrier, and then it'll be really easy to find, because even sunk deep, we're going to have the probably the helm up above the water. We'll say we got an aircraft carrier. What are y'all talking about? We sunk the biggest thing. See if you can help out on that. We'll work that out. I want to talk some seafood stuff with you. But first, though, I guess when I was out of town, I saw that you were on. I'm not going to give you any grief being on with Jeff Poore, but you're on with Jeff. we'll have to talk about that later. But you're talking about Anaya's Law and not having Anaya's Law used in some counties, some of the 67 counties in Alabama. And this is kind of hinging off what happened in Montgomery, right?
Yeah, that's right. That sure is. If you go back and you look at it and you start crunching numbers, it's just not used very much in Jefferson County or Montgomery County. And those are two counties that, have their really bad crime problems. And it's if you go back and you look, it's Democrat judges and Democrat DAs. I mean, the way Anaya's Law works is the district attorney, the prosecutor, requests that from the judge. The judge could deny the request, but, most cases the judge will go ahead and grant the request. So it's just not being used properly. I mean, they're letting people out, like in that Montgomery shooting, that should be behind bars. I mean, there are some changes coming to that that we passed in the last legislative session that will be on the ballot in May, on May 19th, that will add attempted murder and shooting into a crowded vehicle or to a crowded building, that will add those to the list of charges that you can be held without bond.
And we talked about this while you were first filing the legislation, going through votes. You and I have been talking about this a long time, and the overwhelming passage of Anaya's Law, I think, support. I don't even think some bill in Montgomery says the sun rises in the east that would have gotten the support this Anaya's Law did. I mean, it was pretty amazing. But, I mean, we talked about it back then. You did say it gave judges the option to do this, right? It wasn't a requirement. So, I mean, I guess they're exercising that option to the detriment probably of their citizens, but are they within the law doing it that way?
They are. We did it that way because we felt like it was it would be safe under the Eighth Amendment, under any type of challenge. Of course, the Eighth Amendment, says that you can't set any unreasonable bail, and so this, by not making it mandatory that you had to be held without bond, because the way it used to be in Alabama prior to the enacting of Anaya's Law was that the only time you could really be held without bond was if you were charged with a capital crime, which is, capital murder. But you would talk to, it was interesting going through that process, I would talk to different prosecutors, and they found creative ways around that, where they would try to set a bond high, and then, they were released, but they were reported, they had to report to the jail every day, those kinds of things that were kind of absurd, and not all of them use that. Just a handful of more rural counties use that as an option. And this, the way Anaya's Law that works is that if someone commits a Class A felony, which are all your bad, your rapes, your murders, your terrorism, that the prosecutor can request that they be held without bond, and the judge could either grant the request and you have the hearing, or he could deny the request and set a bond. And if he has the hearing, you have to meet a threshold of the person is an imminent threat to the community, to themselves, or their flight risk. And it's worked. It's worked across the state. There's several cases. And actually, a couple of the first ones were here. The new mayor, Spiro Chirigatis, was one of the judges, as well as Judge Moore, Zach Moore, where two of the judges to first use it in Alabama, which, you know, that to me, that's an honor that they stepped up and used that first.
So you see some changes coming, or just putting this, do you think it comes internally, these changes for the judges, or it's going to come with another directive?
Well, anything we do, so that will be, anything we do has to go to the voters, because it is a change to the Constitution. And so on the ballot in May will be those other crimes that will be added to the list that they can have an Eyes Law hearing for. And what I'd like to see happen, and you know, we just have to make sure that it's all squared away under the Eighth Amendment, because the biggest thing I didn't want to happen was we passed the legislation and then we had to wait till the 22 election, and then the people overwhelmingly supported it, had over 1 million votes statewide. I didn't want it to go into place and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ACLU immediately file a lawsuit. And they told me we're going to challenge this when it goes into effect, but no one has. So to me, that says, okay, this is very squared away under the Constitution of the United States. And so anything we do will have to be enacted by a jet flying over. Okay, there we go. We have to be enacted by the voters, because it is a constitutional amendment. So what I'm looking at is the possibility of any crime that takes a life having to have a mandatory hearing versus a request of the judge to have the hearing. And, you know, I just have to make sure from a constitutional law standpoint, I'm not an attorney, but so I work very closely with those that know the Constitution better than myself to make sure things like that are squared away and that we won't have any issues. But I think if we were able to do that, we would prevent a lot of those problems that you see happening in Montgomery or Jefferson County or, you know, across the state. And we'll actually keep bad guys behind bars.
So this is something that y'all, when we talk about it, when we have elections, we talk about there's, you know, there's candidates, and then you'll have constitutional amendments and stuff. This is the stuff we'll talk about it, obviously, closer to time people go to the polls, but this is to remind folks, you know, that's what those CAs will be.
Yeah, that's right. They're at the very end of the ballot. Sometimes they're on the second page or third page or fourth page.
Yeah.
But they are important. They're changes to the Constitution. A lot of them are local measures, you know, that might deal with Elmore County or Blount County or even Mobile County. But oftentimes they are like an Eyes Law that are important changes that we have to put out to the voters, because it's an actual change to the 1901 Constitution. So, you know, please don't just not vote on those. You know, pay attention and read up on them, because I feel like an Eyes Law is really saving lives across the state. And, you know, there's any legislation I'm most proud of, it's that.
For sure, and rightfully so. Can you hold on a second?
Sure can.
Okay, because we've got a news break just coming. We'll be right back. More with State Representative Chip Brown right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along and continue our conversation with District 105 Representative Chip Brown. Chip, I have to get Chip. I'll tell you this on the air. I was going to text you, but you got to come back here in the next couple weeks. Get you back on for Veterans Month as well. That I started a little bit early, but it gets officially started on Monday. So prepare yourself for a text.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk seafood here before we run out of time in this hour. This is a law that was signed in law in 2024, right?
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
And let me check
it's been
here.
An effective year.
Let me check here on the Samsung Galaxy 23 Plus that I got in my hand. It is 2025 right now, Representative. And this is, I mean, you said it, what, it was a month or two ago you were on the show, and we were talking about something else, and I said, hey, how's that labeling law going? And you said, they're not enforcing it. Has it changed?
Yep, that's right.
Has it gotten better? What's going on?
Well, when you talk to those that are supposed to be enforcing it, they will tell you they are. But what I know that they're doing is they're waiting for, instead of going out and they're checking on this and that and they're, you know, putting into your overall score, what they're doing is they're waiting on people to call with complaints. And then when they go back out, they'll look into the complaint. And that's not what they're supposed to be doing. What they're supposed to be doing is treating it just like any other item on their checklist. And they go in, you know, do you have this on your menu? You know, you have imported, domestic, farm-raised, wild-caught on your menu for each particular item. They're skirting the law, too, if you go into a restaurant and they have a sign that says we serve domestic and imported seafood. Well, okay, great. But what I want to know is, you know, where does my shrimp come from that I'm eating? Is it wild caught or is it farm raised or is it caught in off the coast of Vietnam or is it caught in the Gulf of America? That's the intent of the law, and that's the way the law is written. That the signage part of it was intended for like Publix or, you know, Winn-Dixie or any of these places that have a deli that they don't have a fixed menu that they could put up a sign. And then, of course, grocery stores are actually covered under federal law. So when you go into a grocery store, let's say you go to Costco and you pick up, you know, some frozen fish, it's going to tell you on the label product of Argentina or, you know, product of the U.S.
Right, the stamp on the back, yeah.
Right, and what's happening is those restaurants are using, some, not all of them, it's interesting, the chain restaurants in particular were the first ones to really jump on it. Most of them follow the law to a T, but a lot of the other ones are either just not following it and they're not being called out for it by public health, or they are just using a sign, putting it, you know, by the bathroom, behind the bar, or wherever, and that you're not going to see it. And that's, so I'm going to come back this session and make some tweaks to that, too. We've had a year to see who would follow the law, who doesn't follow the law. And you know, the current law actually has some teeth in it. It has some punishments in there. But, I mean, my goal is not to put restaurants out of business. My goal is to make sure that they're not defrauding the people of Alabama. And if you say that you have something, if you say you're serving domestic seafood, by God, you need to serve domestic seafood.
Well, and that's why I appreciate, you know, you and I talked about it when you're first working on this legislation. You still, it's not, you're telling people what they can and can't do with their private business. You're just saying, you can still sell the imported shrimp from the ditches or whatever in Southeast Asia. You could do that. But just tell people, like, this is imported, this is not. I mean, it's just information for the consumer.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You know, and it's really no different than you go into a car lot and doing a bait and switch. You go in there looking for one particular car, and you're told they have it, and they get in there, and they give you a different one. And but you look under the hood, and it's actually the wrong one. They're defrauding you, and it's the same thing with this. I mean, the public trust is that they expect when they go to a restaurant that they are going to be served what they anticipate and are told is true. And I've had different restaurants in the past ask, I have asked them where their seafood came from, and they've told me things that I knew were not true, that it was not from the Gulf of America. And that's, you know, we've just got to make sure they uphold their end of the bargain. Because what we're seeing, we have the ability now, through genetic testing, that we can come in. The Department of Agriculture is working with a company out of Texas. You know, we can come in now and tell you exactly, you know, that shrimp is caught off the coast of Chile. That shrimp is from Vietnam. That shrimp is from the Southwest Gulf of America. I mean, they have the genetic lines of all of those, And they're actually getting ready to start that as well with oysters, where they can go in and start telling you, well, no, these oysters that they say are from, you know, Texas are really from India. So as we go further along, I mean, that's kind of the wave of the future, really. And that's what we have to jump on, I believe, is that type of testing to keep people honest.
Yeah, I mean, as you're looking at reforms for this, you said it, saying that somebody has to file a complaint before they go enforce the law. Yes, you can call the cops and say people are speeding down my street and they're going to check more, but they still give tickets whether you called in or not. This just human nature. Some people will do it, but man, come on. It takes a lot for somebody at the restaurant to say, I see that it's not labeled. Let me call let me figure out the phone number. Let me call and report this and file a complaint. It just doesn't happen as much. It's just not realistic.
That's right. It's, you know, they should be sort of reactive. They need to be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the people have so many other things on their mind in this modern day and age. The last thing they should have to be worrying about is ratting out some restaurant that's not upholding their end of the law, you know. And so I think it's important to me. I feel like I'm on a mission with this. I mean, to me, it's a big deal. And, you know, if I pass some legislation, then they need to follow the legislation. They need to follow the law. It's for the people of Alabama, and also it's for the commercial seafood industry that harvests out of Mobile Bay and out of the Gulf of America. That's a part of our way of life in South Mobile County, and it's important that we, as a public, support them. And that's one way to do it, is to have restaurants actually buy their seafood from trusted sources that are in South Mobile County and South Baldwin County.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people, given the information, like, oh, okay, well, this one is Gulf shrimp, I'm gonna buy Gulf shrimp. You know, it's just given the information and let them make a choice, but you have to enforce it. And like you said, once again, y'all, this, you say, well, seafood, whatever, but it is a state law that is not being enforced. Try to pass some other law and just let the enforcement agency go, nah. People would lose their minds.
Yeah, that's right. It's you're absolutely right, though. On the surveys that we've seen and the polling through Sweet Grown Alabama, which is the marketing arm of the Department of Agriculture, over and over again, you know, they show that people, given the choice, prefer locally grown versus imports, especially when you get into foreign imports. You know, it's more than 2-1. I mean, the majority of people by a large margin prefer to have local products. And I think seafood's no different, because you know they're getting it out of local waters.
Get that right.
And those are local families and jobs that you're saving.
100%. Representative Chip Brown, we're going to get you back soon for Veterans Month. I appreciate you hopping on with us today.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Have a great day.
You too. All right, coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. We'll check in from Kyle over at Lanyap coming up in just minutes.